little technical machinations going on today, my friends. Welcome to a Wednesday night edition of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett here for the next hour. More as a host than as a commentator. You know what Wednesdays mean. Well, before we get to it, let's get it on. Interesting day as the markets end and Greece sinks further into the abyss. It's not done well for stocks in this country. Dow Jones Industrial dropped 179 points today, currently at 11,897. NASDAQ down 47 at 2631. S&P 500 was down 22 points today. They have the, 1265. Global Dow, strangely enough, is up. I'm telling you, these stock markets are betting against countries. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Gold up $5, currently at $1,532. Those of you who took advantage of the pre-1933 Swiss 20-franc pieces last night have done very nicely overnight. There are, I believe, 13 pieces remaining. Go to republictradinggroupinternational.com, click on the treasure hunt over on the right-hand side. First come, first serve. I would suggest if you're interested, and by the way, they are based on yesterday's spot, not today's spot, so you're going to save money going right into this deal. And 13 pieces, that's it. When they're gone, they're gone. Oil, strangely enough, took a real nice bite, dropped 4% today, and yet in the aftermarket it's up 60 cents. Currently at $95.40, still an outrageous price. That's per barrel, of course. And they've got us over a barrel. And I think today is, no, coming up in a few more days, will be, in fact, the first day of summer. Lord knows what's going to happen. We're going to go to a break in a few moments. When we come back, it's Wednesday. That means Roger Sales will be joining us for the hour. Much has continued to go on. We're going to talk a lot about the emails that we've been receiving, that we've been forwarding on to Roger over the course of the last week. A couple in specific that I think are well worth concentrating on. And some commentary about calls versus emails. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back to Wednesdays, Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Jeff Bennett here. Joining me is our favorite guest, at least on Wednesdays. Oh, that's right. He's the only guest we have on Wednesdays. Roger Sales, I have kept you busy all week, brother.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see how this develops and, you know, how things you get contacted with from the listeners, etc. I need to cut the there. That's better. I've met some very interesting people. I've been reacquainted with some old friends or people that had mutual friends, and so it's been great for me. And you know, this is a gosh, this whole thing's a labor of love for me. All right, it's one of those things that you feel like you were meant to do in life, and that's what this is for me. And I guess Jeff, after the last half hour on Don's show and some things I heard earlier today on the network, maybe it's interesting that that comes up like that and we can talk a little bit about it, because what you're seeing, and I guess everywhere in the country from what I hear from a number of different people on different areas, is that everybody's miserable, everybody looks down, nobody smiles, everybody feels this pressure over them and what's coming. They don't understand what's happened. They may not understand what's happening, and that's point of all of these discussions you and I have had, is trying to educate the people so that they'll understand the truth, and then you'll put a remedy in their hands. Now, whatever they do with that, it's up to them and God, okay, or whatever they envision him to be.
Absolutely.
But it is a necessity if we're going to move forward, is that people have to be educated, you know. And I don't want to pick on the guy that called this morning, but he called on, you know, was railing about Admiralty Law and this email he'd sent. And I sent you a video clip the other day of a guy that's pretty well known, who's done decades of work in symbology, Jordan Maxwell, who I highly respect his work. And that video clip, he opens up, and as you looked at it, no, and he said there's two types of law, civil law and the land of the sea, and we're over here on the land of the sea, and it's this Admiralty Law stuff, and that's the same guy, the guy this morning was talking about. And if you're going to really understand what's happening, one thing you got to do for all those people that are listening, if you're confused, is, you know, you got to go back and wipe your mind clean and start on it with facts and history and things that are known. Not things that are reached for because you don't understand what's happening and you grasp at something and try and build a case around it. So,
you know, it's
it's
interesting you bring that up, because in the years that I've been on the airwaves, and in the old days when I did take callers until I realized that most weren't worth taking, they were really an intrusion. You know, the whole discussion about admiralty law, the problem is it becomes a soundbite for so many people. They hear the term once, they hear reference to gold fringe flag, and right away they think, you know, they jump on a bandwagon and start screaming, oh, my God, we're under admiralty law. And very few of them know what it is. That's number one. Secondly, I've noticed more and more, John's program, I think, to some degree, callers keep trying to bring up this sovereignty issue, and I don't know if it's because of what you and I have been trying to cover or what you've been introducing, or you know, certainly the mainstream media is jumping all over this sovereignty issue and, oh, these sovereigns, they're nothing but a bunch of militia bums. And I don't think most people even understand what being a sovereign is. And once again, it's soundbite. So I've been, just since you and I have been doing this program together, I've been picking up on things that I'm seeing, wait a minute, that's totally out of context. Am I right or wrong here?
Well, you're absolutely right. And as you know, the book, the title of the book is The Treachery and Deception of Words. And that's how they've taken control. And it's not only the words, it's the technique that's being employed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to understand. And I'm glad you brought up that, because we talked about talking about this, because it's important. And it is getting a media slam, and that tells you they're concerned about it, all right? And
sure,
there's a lot of reasons why that's happening, is because people have gone around and waving that banner, like you said, not knowing what they're talking about, just making this declaration, I'm a sovereign, I'm a sovereign, and not knowing how to do it correctly and legally where to be recognized. First of all, that gives them another word to demonize, like terrorists, like hijacker, like anything else, and they'll bring that whole Madison Avenue apparatus on that word and demonize it. All right. If we're going about it in the way that I'm approaching it here, I'm not running around telling them I'm a sovereign. I'm telling them I'm a U.S. national according to their document, the passport application from the State Department that's in charge of all matters that concern citizenship. And I'm not telling them that I'm that. I'm putting a legal document in their hands that has to be rebutted to be overturned that I'm not the other one.
Mm-hmm,
so it's not
mm-hmm.
that I'm saying what I am. I'm telling what I'm not. And the others default. They got no choice. You know, if you want to go back to that saying somebody said a long time ago, I heard it said, we play chess and they play checkers. Well, kids, it's time we started playing chess, because you got their little fannies in checkmate if you want to go to the time and energy and effort to learn material and understand it. You can reassert your own rights. They're sitting right there. It's all in your mind.
You know, I'm not as concerned that they're playing checkers, that they're playing Chinese checkers, and that's somewhat more complex.
Well, it is. And, you know, listen, you just keep giving me the most beautiful segues. I love you. How are we close to a break? Because I got China on my mind.
No, just keep rolling, man. We got at least five,
well,
and that's
you know,
all going to depend. No, our guy's taking care of it. Just keep rolling.
Okay. Well, I'm going to deviate then from what we talked about as a way to go tonight on an outline. I really do try and do some show prep for this stuff.
I know.
And I wanted to read you something that was an early document I found before I ever even went to a Patriot meeting. I went to the library and just started looking through reference sections. And this comes from the U.S. National Archives and Records Administration. It's called Woodrow Wilson, Repudiation of Dollar Diplomacy. And this is a letter that he wrote to the bankers on a situation in 1913, right after he came in office in March. Back in those days, they used to swear the new president in March. That's why Teddy Roosevelt issued those March 9th declarations. That was 2 or 3 days after he'd been inaugurated.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So this is from Wilson, and it's about China, and the bankers had gone to Taft before them and had put together this thing called a banker's consortium, and they were doing what was called dollar diplomacy. And this is Wilson's new administration talking about a loan that the bankers had requested he endorse them give to China so they could build railroads, etc. Okay? So this is part of his letter in rebuke of that, when he was still clean, by the way. That's the point of that just taking off. The conditions of the loan seem to us to touch very nearly the administrative independence of China itself. And this administration does not feel that it ought, even by implication, to be a party to those conditions. The responsibility on its part, the administration, which would be implied in requesting the bankers to undertake the loan, might conceivably go to the length, in some unhappy contingencies or forcible interference in the financial or even the political affairs of that great Oriental state, just now awakening to a consciousness of its power and its obligation to the people. They were trying to take this puppy over back at the turn of last century. Now listen to this little paragraph here. They did it later with Mao, right? Well, this is when they were trying to do it with money, okay? The conditions of the loan include not only the pledging of particular taxes, some of them antiquated and burdensome, to secure the loan, but also the administration of those taxes by foreign agents. The responsibility on the part of our government implied in the encouragement of a loan thus secured and administered is plain enough and an obvious to the principles upon which the government of our people rests. Now, what did they say there? They were going to loan them the money. They wanted the U.S. to back it up, probably so they could go in with military power and enforce it if they couldn't collect the burdensome and antiquated taxes by the foreign agents. Hello?
There's that military stuff again. It always seems to find a way to slip in here.
Well, you know what Mao said, all law comes out of the barrel of a gun.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I think that's what, you know, we're headed into another one of those periods. And that's why this information is so important, because I believe there's a peaceful, nonviolent, relatively non-confrontational Gandhi-type remedy to this. But you're not going to do it unless you get educated and moved. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to learn the information and let your spirit lead you, all right? If you care, I hear people can, you know, I can't do this because of my kids and my grandkids. I get people calling me, asking me about moving to Argentina. And I'm talking to them, I did this, that, and the other. Well, you know, you got to make those decisions. Is that... And I hear people call in saying, you people that left the country are chickens and come back here and fight. Hell, man, I fought for over 16 years trying to get people to listen to this. I'm still trying to do it. And I
the crazy thing is, now you live how many thousands of miles away, and people are beginning to listen.
Well, I sure hope so, because it's about time. And that's one reason I stopped doing it for a number of years as much, because it's like beating your head against the wall, because it feels so damn good when you stop. Okay? But you got to go on, and the principle I've always used. I heard somebody talking about it on the radio just in the last couple of days, reading it right out of scripture. It was the watchman on the wall. It's back in Ezekiel, and it says you're a watchman on the wall, and if you see danger coming and you don't tell people, the blood's on your hands. But if you tell them, now listen, the blood's on their hands, and that's what I've always kind of taken as my guide, you know. And I think that's a one heck of a correct and accurate philosophy. So that's what I'm trying to do, is not only warn you, of course you already know the danger's coming. What I'm trying to do is show you there's a remedy, all right, that if people will educate themselves, you got tremendous power in your hands. You just don't know it because they're intimidating it away from you.
Well... I don't disagree with anything you're saying. This is, you know, to some degree, this is what John kind of closed his program with tonight, talking about this, and very angrily so. Basically telling people, look, stop looking to everybody else to resolve your own problems. You know, how many people come and say, well, can you help me do this, or how do I do that? Wait a minute. It's no different than the cancer work I've done for years. Kelly taught me one thing. You are the only one that can resolve your own problems. A doctor cannot heal your bones. If you break it, he can just set it, and from that point, it's up to you. You know, you turn all your money over to your banker and your stockbroker and say, make me rich. Where the hell is your culpability in this? You want to be free? You want to become a natural citizen? This is your job. It ain't Roger's job. All he can do is give you some direction and some guidance. From that point on, it's up to you. The thing that I'm finding most interesting is that we're getting that kind of response. People are finally taking some action.
Well, I'm glad that people are ready to listen, because I knew years ago when I kind of stopped being so active in this that there'd be a point that people would be ready to listen. And I sense that point is now, and I sense it's there for a while. And that's why I'm so grateful for you to give me the opportunity to have this platform and to get this stuff out, okay? Because it's important. Let me read to you. Want to talk about authorities and getting to know something. Let me, and I hate to do this reading, but it's important, all right? And it's not too bad here. This is from some old English authorities, and they're called Pollock and Mayer. All right. And these are the authorities and the people that dealt with some of these laws that had been in a force and effect in Europe and England for even up to 1,000 years. All right. And so right. what we've taught you is that they've brought the feudal system over here and overlaid it on the country with the 14th Amendment. For those who hadn't heard that, there's a direct quote out of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Waite, from the court, from a case called Wong Kim Ark that you've heard about in all the Obama birth certificate stuff, because that's the case all these people are using. So if you worry about it being valid, it's valid. All right. So they brought that over. There was two kinds of serfs. Now, this is from an old English authority, and it's talking about the serfs, the voluntary or the involuntary. It said, but as to the serf, not only could he be removed from one tenement, taken from one place, but he could be placed in another. His right. lord might set him to work of any kind. The king's court would not interfere. That was the common law. Because he was a serf, the king's court didn't apply to him because he was under contract. Okay? For he was in service, and his person belonged to the Lord. To his, he was merely the chattel of his Lord to give and sell at his pleasure.
Mm.
In the testimony of the subject, Bracton frequently insists on the relativity of serfdom. Serfdom with him is hardly a status. It is but a relation between two persons, the serf and the Lord. As regards to the Lord, the serf has, at least as a rule, no rights. But as regards to other persons, he has all or nearly all the rights of a free man. It's nothing to them that he's a serf. Now, there's your social structure you're living in the United States. How many times do you hear? There's two sets of laws, one for them and one for us. Hey, Roger's telling you, there's two sets of laws, one for the masters and one for the serfs. Which one do you want?
Unfortunately, far too few people in this country know what they want. And a lot of that is it's lack of education. It's we've been taught certain things, and that's all we've been taught. They've taught us what they want us to know or what they want us to believe. You know, crazy stuff.
But Jeff, my favorite paraphrase of a Mark Twain quote, he has several I really love, but this one's great. And he said, it ain't what I know that's killing me. It's what I know that ain't so.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that pretty well hits it square on the head. So anyway, we were going to do some house cleaning before we got on this tangent here and talk about the callers, which you tried to segue into and I blew. And
no, you didn't. You did fine because, it's interesting. And I've made no bones about it. I'm not a host that, as a general rule, takes callers. It's not that I'm afraid to talk to people. I just find in my particular case, because I have a 1-hour broadcast format, it can be a horrendous distraction. In a lot of cases, Roger, it's because people call in. And I remember this back in the very early days that I was on the alternative media with Robbie. Very, very common. You'd be on a specific subject. I've kidded for years that I used to tease that my program was always based on the Merv Griffin methodology of broadcasting, which was, in essence, single subject. And there's times I kind of break into that. But then you'd get people calling in that didn't care about that topic. They want to get off on their own tangents. And we hear way too much of that on every one of these networks. And I avoid it. You and I did open up a few weeks ago for a couple of calls. And frankly, we blew 15 minutes of valuable time listening to one individual get off on his own little tirade. And I'm getting more and more emails saying, when Roger's on, thank you. Do not take the calls. What he has to say is far more important than what many of these callers have to say. So they've really been very supportive. And I tend to forward most of those down to you. I forwarded some of them to John as well. And because I think it's worth him seeing it and hearing what some of our listeners have to say about it. But we talk about house cleaning. And I think you and I both agreed that it is far more beneficial to be able to respond to people, not necessarily in an off-the-cuff fashion, because, yeah, there's off-the-cuff answers. But we really request that if you've got questions for Roger, at least for the time being, Continue to email those questions to me at gold@republictradinggroupinternational.com. I will then forward those down to Roger. Those of you who have done that, you know that he typically responds that day. I do have a question that did come in, just interesting. It says, if a person files the affidavit to become a state national, how does this affect the application of state income taxes?
Well, what I'd say is it's not a state national. You could call that a state citizen, and that's what they used to call it in the old law cases. But after that slaughterhouse case, where that is so prevalent in that term and reasoning in the decisions, they did away with the states in the Reconstruction Act. That's why I believe, and this is my opinion here, that because there was no citizen left yet, there was still a citizen of the United States of America, there was no state citizen because they took away the true legal definition of state. And that left just the national citizenship there. So that's what it is. It's a U.S. national. It's more of this word game. It's more of them trying to cover their tracks from what they've hidden and how they've deceived the people. And so instead of, and I'm glad we come back to that, because instead, if you're going to declare yourself something, don't declare yourself a sovereign. Go down and get you a stack of passports from the post office and start carrying them around and showing them to people and shoving it under their nose.
Right, right.
Okay? So I think it's important for us to put that on, because they got the full court press on this sovereign thing. And one of the things that tipped me, and this segues into what we were going to do here, perfect, Jeff, is this one of the guys that contacted me from up in Idaho, and he's done this, started asking questions. He's got some local connections up there in that area, and starts asking questions to people he knows in the hierarchy, and he ends up talking to the Supreme Court of the state of Idaho. The head legal counsel is supposed to call him back, and he's talking to the girls and all the clerk girls and stuff, which, you know, in a lot of cases, those clerks know more about the law than the lawyers, okay?
Oh, yes.
And so he's explaining to them about the two citizenships, and then he talks to the people at the post office, and they put him in touch with an 800 number. I'll let him tell his story. I'm not going to tell it for him, but somebody's out there doing something, and he gets called from the FBI, all right, from the what? The sovereign detail. And why are they got? Because they're targeting on a bunch of these clowns, evidently. I think the one name that he mentioned was Tim Turner. I'm not familiar with the guy, but he's got a traveling sovereign circus. And he takes it from town to town and sticks you for $200 to $300 to get in and hear what he's got to say. I'm going to sell you a book for $10. It's going to tell you everything.
Well, we got a break, so let's hold on that. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Little Billie Holiday as we go into the break. We'll be right back with Roger Sales.
Oh, my baby.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Theravim. Theravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Theravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit Theravim.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
That is nice.
Josie's coming. Yep, that's it. Josie Wales. That's Clint Eastwood at the piano in Carnegie Hall just a few years ago.
Me gusta.
Well, it was kind of interesting. They did an entire presentation at Carnegie Hall called Clint Eastwood at Carnegie Hall. Well, he only came, I think he did some introductions and stuff, but the basis of the music and the entire presentation was jazz and blues, but predominantly jazz, because he's a great jazz aficionado. And a lot of old-timers were up there, players, singers, etc., some great stuff. And all the music that was done that night was music from his television show, his movies, very recognizable themes. It was quite a – I've got the performance on disc, and it's absolutely amazing. Anyway, that's not why we're here. That's it. Welcome back to Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. We just gave him a little bit of jazz. Roger Sales with us. Where are we going to pick up from here? I know we got lots of ground to cover tonight.
We're going to give him some more jazz. It's going to be other kind of jazz. We were talking about Dave up there in Idaho, and I wanted to finish this thing off. And this is an important thought. And he was very nice with all these people. And he wasn't belligerent. He wasn't in their face or screaming. He was very nice. And, you know, a lot of times it's better to get what you want when you ask questions. So that's an old salesman's technique. You might employ that one. And I'll have him on to tell his story. But I think we talked about it, and maybe after he gets everything done, he'd love to get on and tell you all about it. So those kind of things are important. And we had another email that caused Jeff and I to start talking this afternoon. And here's a great example of where I am with this. His situation brought up a contingency I'd never even thought about, okay? And that's what – there's a lot of contingencies that people, if they do move forward with this, you're going to be plowing new ground, all right? And I don't – it's like – do you ever hear old Brother Dave Garner?
Sure.
Jeff. Remember him? And in one of his skits, and somebody said, well, I thought you knew everything. And he said, well, I do, but I don't know that. And that's kind of where I am. I know an awful lot, but there's a lot of this stuff I just don't know, okay? And it's never been tested. There may be some theory there. And one of them was this situation with your listener, and I guess a customer of yours, and his name's Peter. So you wanted to give me some background on that.
Peter's kind of an interesting guy. I met Peter probably back in 06, 07 when I was with RBN before. Did a fairly sizable IRA for him. And the thing was always interesting with Peter is obviously he is not, I'm going to say he was not American born. He's got a, I'm not sure, maybe an Austrian or German accent. But it's quite distinctive. And in his emails to me last night, wanting to get in touch with you, he's got some concerns. He's left his former firm. He's retired from the firm. He's relocated elsewhere. But he's also getting ready to start drawing Social Security, which he paid into for 23 years. Now, I'm assuming that at some point in time, once he came to this country, look, you're not born in the Highland Park Hospital in Illinois as a little baby with a German accent. It doesn't work that way, or with that type of accent. So, you know, it's obviously quite distinctive. Very understandable. You understand every word he says. It's nothing like that. But he's now concerned about many of the things that you've been talking about, which tells me that at one point in time, he may have well become a citizen of this nation, as many foreigners do when they come here, not by illegal entry, but by doing it, quote, the right way. Well, now he's considering, how do I now convert to this national status? And because I don't want to lose my 23 years worth of Social Security. Is there a trade-off there? I mean,
well
you're getting it, but you had a different situation.
Well, I was born in the United States, and it would depend on the interpretation of the 14th Amendment and how they'd apply that. Any person born or naturalized, and that tends to make me think that if you've been naturalized, that probably is the only status that you've got access to. All right, and that it led us, as we got on this Tasmanian thought vector here today. At least it put me on this, and that is the fact. That with just one citizenship like that, you probably have to go through the form that they have for expatriation, which now costs you a bunch of money and takes weeks to get an appointment, and then you got to have another country's passport to go to before they'll do that. But you see, what we're talking about here, if you qualify, there's a great sales term, if
right.
you qualify, you to have that other status, then you're not expatriating yourself. You're claiming your rightful status. And the reason that I bring that out is because obviously the way they've got the system set up, if you do go through the expatriation form, they're not going to tell you the other status is sitting there waiting to be claimed by you. And not only would it get rid of all those onerous regulations and everything else that weigh you down, but it would give you your God-given natural rights. So it's important that people understand those two are still there. And because I sent Jeff this video about, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, of a fellow who was a former Marine out of Hawaii, had done the country of Hawaii thing and all that, and he tried to expatriate himself 4 times, burned his passport, had a big press conference over in Amsterdam in some square and burned it with press coverage and TV cameras and stuff there. And they wouldn't take it. He had to come back in the States, and he's trying to get rid of it, and they're trying to make him take it. It was a fiasco. But the point being, and that's one of the approaches I want to take on this, and in a strategy as we roll this out further, is to explain to people that you don't have to expatriate. All you got to do is understand and learn this information, and if you feel so moved, I'm not going to tell you to do it. You go do what's prescribed there and, you know, claim it.
Yep,
so I thought it was a great transition, and the fact I wanted to make that point because it's important. And also to tell the audience and show you that, you know, there's a lot of things in this we just don't know yet. That's how new this information is. And the reason it's so important is this makes you know your enemy inside and out. And you're never going to win any battle until you know your enemy. Your chances are greatly impressed. And what you learn is how they think. And when you start understanding how they think, the veil lifts. It's called the Totos. And if you want to call us the Totos, we'll be like the little dog, little Carn Terrier in Wizard of Oz, and pull the curtain back on that shriveled old man.
That's it.
Pressing buttons and pulling levers and doing foot pedals, because that's all this is just smoke and mirror machinations and illusions, pulling words and using your mind as the fertile ground. And the people have got to understand that you can undo this, but you got to want to. You're going to have to study a little bit, God forbid. You're going to have to start thinking again on your own. And more importantly, it's not that you're going to think what you think. It's that you got to learn how to think. And that's what most people have forgotten to do.
And unfortunately, too many people that are maybe 15, 20 years younger than you and I, they were never taught how to think independently. It's a whole different direction. If you will allow me just a moment to sidetrack here, and I know this is a subject that is of interest to you anyway. I just received an email a short while ago from something called the Liberty Council, and it angers me because the headline says, Israel needs us as never before. Israel is once again facing heightened threats by foreign enemies, while the Obama administration's policy toward our ally has taken a marked turn for the worse, severely threatening our nation's vital relationship. Let me say this, and you'll understand why I'm bringing this point up. It's not to sidetrack the conversation. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Israel being our ally. The emphasis is on the lie, by the way. And tomorrow on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, I have a very special guest. His name is Ramzi Baroud. He is the founder, editor, and publisher of the Palestine Chronicle, a man who was basically booted out of his own country, not allowed to come back there, born and raised in the land of Palestine, you know, the one that's been on the map for hundreds of years that our good friends tell us never did exist. Well, he's going to be coming on telling a bit of his story. I don't want you to miss it. We are getting way too much of the continual media commentary, Roger, about let's bash the Muslims. Then you get the other side that says let's bash the Jews. You know what? None of this is really germane to any of it. There is no one side of the issue that's good guys or bad guys. There's circumstances, but there's people who suffer on both sides of the issue. And
Where the germane part of that issue is you go back and find Albert Pike's letter written in 1890s about the Third World War being between the Arabs and Christianity. And you see that whole thing playing right out right now. And they're doing a masterful job of it. And that's why knowing this type of information allows people to understand the dialectic. At least it gets people thinking, see, and you start being able to know these guys like the back of your hands. I'm not sitting where I am because I had some crystal ball that I rubbed. I'm sitting where I am because I studied these people for over a decade, and I found out exactly how they think and what they're doing. I found out that they replicate themselves over and over and over again. They do it over and over again. I studied what they've done in history. I studied all about them, and I positioned myself in front of them.
And that's important. That's what people don't understand. But as I say, this is kind of a definitive sidetrack from where we're taking this conversation, but I really want people to tune in tomorrow night. Unfortunately, those who control the media are whipping up every bit of negativity toward every single Muslim in the world, and that is not the issue. As I say, there is good and bad in everything. There's good and bad in Christianity, in Islam, and certainly in Judaism or Zionism, more importantly. And I want people to hear the other side of all the crap that we've been getting dished out about, those Palestinians with their backpack bombs and they're killing all these people. You know what? For them, it's called a defense mechanism. They're trying to defend themselves with that stuff against tanks and flamethrowers and murderous, cutthroat Israeli military.
As I've understood this all these years and thought about it so much, one thing that I've come to the conclusion of is one of their main tactics is whatever they're calling you, they are.
Okay? Oh, absolutely.
It's the old, you got one finger pointing out, you got three fingers pointing back at you rule, all right? And that's, once again, and what is that? That's this 180 tying people's minds up. And that's their technique. And it's simple. Okay? It's simple. And that's what this information that I've been teaching does, is it rips these people's mask off. It strips, the old the nursery rhyme about the little boy that said the emperor had no clothes. Mm-hmm. You study this, and he ain't not only got no clothes, he ain't even got a wardrobe.
No. It's interesting. I sent you an email the other night. I can't find it very quickly. I may be able to find it. That came from Granny. And she talked about various things that we're discussing, and she is concerned for my safety as well as yours because of the things that we are in fact bringing up. And you may or may not be able to recall specifically what it was she said and what your response was to it. I've got so many things that I'm having to jump around here and see if I can find that you don't think about before airtime. But you think about why you're doing it, then you can't find it, you know.
Never. Well, let me get, while you're looking for it, I'll just say this. I had a whole show prep tonight done on taxes and taxation. And that's where that Woodrow Wilson quote came in. We were going to talk about the IRS being foreign agents. But we'll just put this on the back burner and we'll do it another night. And it's very interesting because most people don't understand there's two types of taxes that are constitutional and how they apply. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear people like, was speaking of Hannity, the, Combs, his old sidekick, yes, was doing, talking to somebody about income tax. He said, well, you drove here on the roads, didn't you? Well, your taxes don't pay for the damn roads. Your excise taxes on gasoline pay for the roads. Your income tax is a whole different animal. And you see, people don't even have that elementary an understanding of these subjects.
Absolutely.
So we'll go into that a bit. We'll go into that a bit one night. But we were talking earlier, and let me tell this story because it's interesting. And it's not the name drop and all this stuff. I tell you for a couple of reasons, and that's an insight into this guy. And Jeff's mentioned a couple of times that I know Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, at one point in time in Atlanta, before he went to New York, was a friend of mine. And the way that we met is really interesting. And that is, they had yanked him over from Huntsville, Alabama. He had his first big-time radio job on one of the big talk show stations in Huntsville, Alabama. And he'd been there for a short time, just dabbled in radio in college, and had come out of college radio. And there's a very well-known national broadcaster named Neil Bortz. He's syndicated. And
sure,
he was in Atlanta, and he'd been there for years. And when he decided to go over to the other WSB, which is the big Cox flagship, you know, the whole Cox Enterprises is all headquartered in Atlanta. And their flagship, there's WSB, AM, FM, TV, and they also own the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. No monopoly there. So anyway, he had gone over to SB and was going to be on the big 50,000-watt blowtorch, and they were going to plan on syndicating him down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he left the other little station, and they put him under a no-compete clause. He had a no-compete clause, which meant he couldn't go for 6 months and be on the air anywhere in the same market, and that's when they pulled Hannity in. All right. So I had to give you the background so you'll appreciate this. He's still green and new. We've been pretty active in the Patriot community there, had a nice group for a number of years, and a couple other people and I were real interactive. And so they got Sean on there, and he talked a good game. And so we'd call and leave messages on his email, and he was building an audience, so he'd call you back. Well,
sure.
Now, at that point, I was teaching broadcasting, which I did for 10 years. So I know that business like the back of my hand. Well, one of the things we taught about was ARB and Arbitron, the ratings service, and how radio stations are rated in the market so they can adjust their rates for their spots accordingly. So I know all about that. And before this contact with Hannity, I'm sitting there one day, and the phone rings, and it's ARB, and they say, well, we're conducting a survey. Well, I knew exactly what was happening. And they said, how many people in your household? Well, I know you can request 6 diaries. So I said 6, because I was going to fill them out for WWCR, all right, and send them in. And so I got these 6 Arbitron diaries on my desk, and I'm there one afternoon, and I'm filling them out. And the phone rings, and it's Sean Hannity. And he goes, hey, Roger, I got your voicemail. And I said, hey, man, you'll never believe what I'm doing. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm filling out Arbitron diaries. And I thought he was going to have a kitten, man. No, oh, fill him in for me. Fill me in. And he's going through all that stuff. And we get off on this conversation. And so later we hang up, and I talk to him again later. He said, man, I went running down the hall at GST yelling, I got a guy that's got 6 diaries, and he's filling me in. And they said the general manager's like out of vaudeville with a cane, reached out and got him and yanked him into the office and said, shut your mouth, okay? Because it had blown the whole book if that got out, see? So that's how we met, and I'll finish this up when we come back.
You got it. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain meal will be passed down through generations.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Yeah, coming back in with a little Duke Ellington. Who else? Roger Sales, tell us some more about your Sean Hannity story.
Well, I was going to finish this up because there's an end to it. And he went on to New York and got to be big time and all that. And I know we had lunch a time or two on his trade out accounts. He used to have an account down there called Philly Cheesesteak. And that was one of his accounts. And we went over to the one at Lenox Mall and ate lunch one day. And I carried all my Bill Benson 16th Amendment books and a bunch of other stuff and sat there and showed him all that stuff at lunch. And he said, well, my sister out in California and her friends are really into this stuff. And they've been telling me about it years, too. And so he was familiar with it. We looked at it. We talked at it. He goes on to New York. And I got to a point where I couldn't listen to him anymore because it just made me physically sick, honestly, like Marsden translating the protocols out of Russian or something. And but occasionally I'd hear him, and I get him on one day in the car, and he's going, well, I know I've heard people talk about conspiracy theories, but nah, nobody's ever showed me anything that was true. And I just felt like that guy on Duke Ellington coming in. You lying.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I know you're lying because now it's me. All right. And so he used to call me. Interestingly enough, his nickname for me was the Professor. So some of you can probably relate to that from the sessions Jeff and I have had, and hopefully the ones we'll have in the future. So I just thought that was important, and the fact that if you guys have got questions, email them, and if you can send them to Jeff, or I'm putting an email in that people can contact me more directly through. We'll talk about that maybe next week. And we'll have some guests on that have been doing this stuff like we did with Zorro last week. I don't think Zorro's painted a Z on anybody's chest this week that I've heard, but I'm sure he's got some more to do that too in the future. And you can make this a good time because you're empowering yourself. You're empowering yourself with knowledge, and you're empowering yourself with a remedy that's sitting right there for you. The only thing you have to do is to find out in your heart and soul if that flame of liberty burns in your breast and if you're willing and want to do it. And that's a choice you got to make. All right. But if enough of us make the choice, even if it's something small, you know, like writing a letter to the State Department and saying, excuse me, I was looking at a passport application and saw these two separate political statuses. Could you please tell me exactly what the rights and duties are that are associated with each one of those from all of your systems of records? And now what if 100,000 people did that? You think the State Department would get the message?
Yeah, they might, but then what moves would they take to try to block everybody? And
well, they can't block it. You see, that's the end game on all of this, Jeff, and I've mentioned it before, and it's very important to understand. What we're doing is teaching you how they've written the laws, how they've tricked you, and how they're applying them, because they're applying them legally. So let's either make them follow the laws now, where we know the remedy they've hidden from us, and let's have a lawful situation, or let's take the mask off and know exactly who the hell we're dealing with.
That's it.
Because that really is the end game on everything that we're doing right here. Let's force the issue. And you're going to force the issue by putting truth in their face the way you'd put garlic and a cross in front of a vampire, because there ain't very much damn difference.
Well, that's about going to do us for this week. Roger Sales, as always, thanks for being here, bud. I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll talk before then. Do join us tomorrow night. Ramzi Baroud, who will be talking to us about his visit back to Gaza, back to Palestine. And by the way, a last-minute announcement. Anthony Weiner has announced his bid for the presidency. He's chosen Eric Holder as his running mate. Make sure to hurry out and get your Weiner Holder bumper stickers. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
What? I got you. I got you. And all that jazz. And all that jazz.
The next round of the worst financial crisis.